Thank you so much. Thank you so much to GreenLeft for arranging this meeting, and also especially special thanks to Mr. Peter and Jacob. Sorry, I don't remember your second name, for being in contact with me and arranging everything. Well, I will not go into too much detail about the Australian military crimes in Afghanistan, because you're already in the picture and you know a lot about it, and most of the points has been already said in the media and also in the court. Just to give you a quick introduction that after Afghanistan was occupied by US and NATO forces, of course, Australia was part of that, and these big countries who were part of the NATO and who were involved in Afghanistan, like 42 countries, they divided Afghanistan provinces between amongst themselves. For example, Australians had responsibility for Oruzgan, which is a southwestern province, and for Kandahar was given to Canada, or Herat was given to Italy, and or Mazar, which is in the north of the country, was given to Germans. But US, because they were the big boss, so they were present in every province, and they had control in the major provinces. First of all, because, for example, Kabul was mostly controlled by the US, or other provinces which had very lots of importance strategically, or they were earning a lot from it. For example, Helmand. Helmand is the base or the main source of opium for in the whole Afghanistan. So British and US were always trying to have control over this province. And then Kandahar was also very much important province, and always Canadians and US, even they had fight amongst themselves to have control over these provinces. But then apparently they made a kind of group or a committee, which they used to call it Provincial Rehabilitation Team, or PRTs. But of course they want to have the control over the province, and so they can earn from it. In the media, we always hear that like more than $120 billion was given in form of aid and military to Afghanistan. But and most of the time, most of this money, we can say that over 50% of this money didn't come to Afghanistan at all, because they were making contracts with the big, especially US companies, and most of the money was going back to US. This is one point. And then most of the money was given, it was used on by the military forces. Like the figures show that every foreign military force in Afghanistan, they had around $15,000 they were spending every month on each troop. Or, and then the rest of the money was given to the warlords. Just to give you example, for example, Australia was investing on one of the warlords, Matiullah Khan. He was from Oruzgan, and this warlord, he used to be just a simple taxi driver, but within 3 or 4 years, he became the biggest mafia, the kingpin, and everything in that area. Apparently, he was the police chief of Oruzgan province, but he had control over everything. Like, he was the guy who was saying who should be the governor of the province or not, because the governor post is more important than a police chief. But like, he was the guy who was deciding who should have the control. And there are lots of reports of the crimes. For example, on 15th April 2015, the AIM network, they reported that Matiullah Khan military has been involved in mass murder, rape, abductions of men and women, and many other crimes that were committed by him and his men. Or there is another incident where he killed 80 people five of them by shooting, and then with the rest of them, they killed them with the knives in a meeting or other crimes that they committed. So if I talk about the current situation of Afghanistan, because Afghanistan was occupied in the name of bringing liberation to the woman and bringing democracy, bringing to, justice and other beautiful terminologies. But in reality, if we see the current situation, now, beside Taliban, we have 23 other terrorist groups active in Afghanistan. ISIS, Haqqani Network, and other small terrorist groups like from Uzbekistan, from Tajikistan, from other areas, they are active in Afghanistan and they are committing crimes here. And the ironic point about is that all of these terrorist groups, either they are supported by the big imperialist countries such as US, British, Russia, China, or they are supported by the reactionary regional countries like Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, Uzbekistan, all of them. They have their own proxy troops in Afghanistan, which are fighting for their aim. For example, currently Iran and Saudi Arabia are fighting their war in Afghanistan. India and Pakistan, they are fighting their war in Afghanistan. And other countries, like even China and US are fighting their war in Afghanistan. Russia and US are fighting their war in Afghanistan. Iran is supporting Taliban at the same time. And then another group of Taliban are supported by the US. And then, so the victim of all of these crimes, war and bloodshed are the Afghan people, especially women and children. And if you see the current situation that because U.S. claimed that they will end up Taliban, but now we see from the, as you already know, that there is a peace, so-called peace negotiation is going on in Qatar, in Doha. And you can, we can see every day that Taliban are getting stronger. There are many reasons for that. First of all, these Taliban are supported by the foreign troops, because they want to justify their presence in Afghanistan. Because you know that most of the time the U.S. imperialist government, to justify its presence in a country, they always want to have a kind of virtual enemy. We have seen the example of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, or other countries that the U.S. has invaded, and then they try to find a virtual enemy so they can justify their presence. The same is happening in Afghanistan. And because they want to end up the project of Taliban, now they are trying to do lots of propaganda for the ISIS, because they want to fool out their own citizens, and then they want to fool out the rest of the world that Taliban are ending, but then another terrorist group is coming out and we should be there so we can fight against them. And second thing that for the Taliban to become stronger is the crime committed by the foreign troops. Just you gave the example of Australian troops. The same is happening with the Germans. They have committed crimes. It has happened with the French, with the British, with the Italians. Some of them has been reported in the media, or especially they have become reported in the international media, but the rest of the, them has been there, but nobody has talked about them. And of course, US, they have committed many crimes. So this is the reason that they want to push people towards Taliban. And of course, there is another reason, because there is a, we can say, lack of progressive forces and individuals in Afghanistan, because most of them, they were killed during the Soviet Union occupation of Afghanistan. Most of them, the Soviet forces or the Russian forces, they killed most of the progressive and leftists. And at the same time, the warlords, like the jihadi parties, which were supported by CIA and ISI of Pakistan. They killed lots of intellectuals and progressive forces and individuals. So currently, that's the reason that there is a gap that Taliban can easily recruit people so they can continue their war. And then, of course, now with the peace negotiation which is going on, from the very first days when it was announced that Taliban are going to have a peace negotiation with the US, we said that there will be no peace in Afghanistan until and unless we have the foreign troops in Afghanistan. And apparently the US government is saying, especially recently, even Trump announced that they will be leaving Afghanistan, but we don't believe that because they just want to make an excuse because of the election which was going on in the US. So they just brought Taliban on the peace table. But otherwise, they will be there. And we believe that the foreign troops will leave Afghanistan when our people will stand up and fight them. When we say stand up and fight them, we mean that they are represented and they are led by progressive forces and not by reactionary forces such as Taliban. So this is the other reason that there will be no peace, because until unless the US and NATO forces are there, because they want to use Afghanistan as a ground against other countries such as China, Russia, Iran, and then they will not sit quiet. They already have their proxy forces in Afghanistan, and every day we see lots of suicide bombings, we see lots of attacks on military posts and things like that, and they are supported by the other countries. They want to have war here, so because they don't want to have their rival country present in Afghanistan. So we always say that the US and other NATO countries should leave in Afghanistan, should leave Afghanistan, and additionally they should start supporting the warlords, because even if they leave Afghanistan but they continue with supporting the warlords, of course the war and the bloodshed and the killing will continue. And on the other hand, if you talk about the government, our government, or the Afghan puppet government, is a corrupt government. Every day there are news of corruptions, but it just lasts for one day, one or two days in the news, and then everybody forgets about it. The main reason for that is that because the high officials, including the president, his vice presidents, and the ministers, all of them are involved in the corruption. That's why when there is a case of corruption, they try to make it quiet so people don't talk about it. Because if they bring or prosecute one corrupt person, of course he or she, especially he, will be talking about the other corruptions which is happening at the ministerial levels or other high officials. So everybody is just, they are trying to make everything quiet. And especially with this COVID-19 pandemic, which is has added much calamity and bad situation to in Afghanistan, because most of the people in Afghanistan, they are daily laborers, so they earn on daily basis, and then if there is a lockdown or things like that, of course they cannot earn their living. So it has further deteriorated the situation, and like $600 million US dollar was given in form of aid by the US and the European countries, and also I think Japan. They gave this money to Afghanistan to be used for fighting COVID-19. But most of this money was embezzled by the ministers and other high officials. Like at the start of the lockdown in June 2020, the previous health minister, he resigned from his post, And the main reason for that, because he was involved in the corruption, so the government didn't have any option but to make him resign from his position. But of course, with the new health minister, the things didn't change. He belongs to another jihadist faction, and then they continue with what was left from the previous minister. He continued with the corruption and theft of the money from the aid which was given to Afghanistan. And then I just want to go back that I said that the U.S. troops are not leaving, and also the NATO troops, they will not be leaving in Afghanistan. And there are many reasons for that. First of all, they are earning a lot from Afghanistan. They are earning from the drugs, from the opium. They are earning a lot. Like, according to the reports given by many prominent sources, they say that every year the U.S. and the British troops, they are earning from 500 to 600 billion dollars from Afghanistan, and around 2 to 3 billion dollars is returning back to Afghanistan. The rest of the money is used by the U.S. and British troops. So this is one of their main sources, that they don't want to leave Afghanistan. And secondly, as Pep mentioned about the mines or the other precious stones and metals that we have in Afghanistan. For example, Helmand, which is one of the most insecure provinces of Afghanistan, or we can say which is one of the most insecure places on earth. And the reason for that is, first of all, we have uranium there, and the British and U.S. troops, or they have their proxy forces in form of Taliban or other terrorist group, which have control over the areas on the different districts of this province. And then they are extracting uranium from these areas. And then at the same time, the land for cultivating opium is best in Helmand. So this is another reason that they want to have control over the cultivation and over the trafficking of the opium in those areas. So these are the reasons. And of course, Afghanistan, with the geographical location which it has, like being in the border with Iran, with China, with Russia, or even India and Pakistan and other countries, we say that Afghanistan is the heart of the Asia. So when U.S. has its military forces here, it means that it has control over Asia. So this is another reason that they will not be leaving Afghanistan. And the other point that I want to talk about, the current prosecution of the Australian forces, I have to say that we believe that not only the Australian individual troops should be prosecuted, we believe that the government of Australia, especially the Prime Minister, who was involved in sending the troops to Afghanistan, they should be prosecuted. Because these crimes are committed not by individuals. We believe that these crimes are committed by the system, by the government. Because they are the ones who are raising these troops to be so much heinous and to be act so much crazy. So we believe that it is the government that should be prosecuted. And at the same time, we always say that we differentiate between the people of Australia or any other country and their government. When it comes to Australia, we thank people like Julian Assange or with John Pilger, who are the ones, or with the Green Left, who are the real voice, who are somehow our real voices. Like, they were the ones who spoke about the crimes which were happening in Afghanistan. We are thankful to you and also to the figures like them who always spoke on our behalf and on the Afghan people behalf. Thank you so much.